So the backdrop of Isaiah 37 is Hezekiah is the king, and the king of Assyria decides he's going to come and bring a whooping stick to Israel. I mean, he is going to take them on, destroy them. He does it in a really ugly manner. In fact, as he's using terrorism to be able to do it. And he has his hitman, his public relations guy, tear into Hezekiah, and then he also speaks to the people and is bemoaning and belittling and challenging the people. I mean, really giving them an ugly, hard time. And I'll read these to you, these verses from chapter 36 real quick, and then we'll lead into it. This guy is a bad guy. I mean, really, he has a bad name. It's Rabshakeh, which means you can't, it doesn't even fit in any of the lines. So he's telling Hezekiah, and he's telling the people, come and make a bargain, this is Isaiah 36, verse 8, with my master, the king of Assyria, and I'll give you 2,000 horses, if, on your part, you can come up with enough riders. So like, you pipsqueaks, you probably couldn't even come up with enough riders. We got the horses and the riders, you probably couldn't come up with them. And just taunting them, giving them a hard time. So then he says in verse 12, has my master sent me only to your master to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? He's telling them, this is going to be your fate. Wow. That's a little bit different than there's a future and a hope. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean and said, hear the words of the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, not thus says the Lord, thus says the king. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to deliver you. Ever run into a problem that felt like it was bigger than God? Don't let the preacher, don't, in this case, the king, the priest, the leader, don't let Hezekiah fool you. We got him. Our army's bigger, our army's badder, and nobody that we've fought has won. Never. So don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. This is verse 15. Don't let him trick you into trusting the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me, and you eat each of his own vine and each of his own fig tree and drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come to take you away to a land that's like your own, a land of grain, new wine, bread, and vineyards. In other words, you hook up with me, I'll come back and we'll take you all to our place, and we'll take over your place. But you won't be eating dung and drinking urine, which is hardly be a choice. Beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you, saying the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of any of the nations delivered his land from the land of the king of Assyria? And then he goes through them. What about the god of Hamath, Arpad? Where are the gods of Sabathaim? Where and when have they delivered Samaria from my hand? In other words, these are all countries that Assyria has conquered that the Israelites know about. So you're right. They lost. And some of those are bigger than we are. So whom among the gods of all the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord would deliver Jerusalem from my hand? Wow. Now this is the threat. And they go to Isaiah in chapter 37 and say, you got anything to say about this? What are we going to do? Because this is the spokesman for the king. And he's saying, either you're going to surrender to me or I'm going to go back and get everybody and we're going to knock your lights out. And they go to Isaiah, and Isaiah pretty much said, not going to happen. Not going to happen. But the king now gets a letter from the king of Assyria saying exactly the same thing. We are going to come and take it all. We're taking you. We're taking everybody. You're going to, you know, rape, pillage, and plunder. You're in a lot of trouble. Isaiah 37, verse 14. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up into the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. So what are we going to do? He's taking the threat. He's taking the terrorism. He's taking what the enemy has said about the situation, and he lays it out before the Lord. And verse 15, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands, not disagreeing with them. What the enemy has said is true. And they've cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, and wood and stone. So they've destroyed them. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, because we don't want to die. That's not what it says. Deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. So he first hears about the problem. He puts on sackcloth and ashes. He cries out to the Lord. Now he gets the letter. He takes it before the Lord. This is just awful. What are we going to do? Because they defeated everybody. This would be like somebody showing up and saying, listen, we already burned down Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and we've knocked out Nebraska and Iowa. We're coming for you next. And you'd have to say, oh, yeah, I got relatives in all those places, and they're coming living here because they couldn't live there. And the threat is not just hollow, because they have, the king has followed through. He threatened all those nations. None of them would give in. All of them got destroyed. Wow. And so here's Hezekiah saying, hey, what do we do now? What do you want me to do? My army can't match their army. I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to intervene. I need for you to prove that you are who you say you are, because if you aren't, we're not going to be who we say we are. Right? So threatening things. So you think about it. He could have prayed a lot of different ways. Can you bring me the Egyptian army to help me? Can you, you know, recruit? But doesn't talk about warfare. He doesn't talk about instruments of war. He simply says, Lord, you made everything. You made the heaven, the earth. You alone are God. And now this guy is trumpeting and saying, he's God. He's bigger than the gods of all these other people. And that means he thinks he's bigger than you. And you know what? He's got piles and piles of dead bodies to prove it. He's got territories and cities that he's taken over to prove it. And here we are. And what do we have? We have we trust in our God. It's tough, isn't it? I'm almost done, so don't quit on me. So I'm thinking about this. And many, many, many years ago, I preached about this once in what I hope was a pretty good way. But I was so taken with how the Lord answers. Because, you know, when he answers, sometimes it's like, hallelujah. I mean, it's just magnificent. And other times, okay, it just happens. Right? But he does something here that's instructional. I mean, he does something that will last you and help you the rest of your life if you catch it. So I want you to catch it. But I got to get back up there because I don't have it memorized. So. Sorry, Charles, this isn't one I've got. So Hezekiah lays it out. Then the prophet shows up. Verse 21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah saying this, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about this, and he says about Sennacherib, the king of Israel, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Because you have prayed. I don't care what you're facing. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what you're trying to get rid of. I don't know what you're trying to get a hold of. I don't know what's pushing back against you or what you're pushing against. Here's the deal. Hezekiah had the response to put his trust in God. He had the response to say, it's like this. I'm not big enough for this. We're not big enough for this unless you're in the middle of it. And when you're in the middle of it, we're on. We're on. And the prophetic word comes and says, because you have prayed, period, this is what's going to happen. And so I want to say to you today, I want you to walk out of here, because you have prayed, fill in the blank. Because you have prayed about, fill in the blank, here's what's going to happen. He doesn't send the word of the Lord saying what's going to happen. He says, until they prayed. Once they've prayed, and he said, because you've prayed, not just because I have a word, but because you prayed, here's what's going to happen. Now let me show you what's going to happen. But why is it happening? Because God's good. He sure is. But he followed the process. He sent the situation to the leader. The leader said, I'm not big enough for this. We're not big enough for this. This is a God-sized problem. We need a God-sized response. And then, and all of this happens that I'm going to read to you because they prayed about this. So what are you facing? I don't care how many zeros are on it, if it's a dollar thing. I don't care how many people, names are on it, if it's a relational thing. He said, just because I'm having a good day. No, because you prayed. Because you prayed. Why did this happen? Because you prayed. Does prayer work? Because you prayed. Got it? Okay, now let's look at this. This is amazing. Because he said, we're going to come and tear everything up. You're going to be sitting on the wall, nothing to eat but your own human excrement. That's the threat. But because, this is verse 24 of Isaiah 37, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. She has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. So he's saying, he has despised the people of God. The Lord doesn't take kindly to that. She has shaken her and shaken her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. Though your servants, through your servants, you have reproached the Lord, and you've said, with many chariots I came up from the heights of the mountains to the remotest parts of Lebanon, and I cut down all the cedars and all the cypresses, and I will go to its highest peak and its thickest forests. I dug wells and I drank waters with the sole of my feet. I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. I've done all this stuff. And you're going to mess with me? I mean, that's pretty much what he's saying. Drop down to verse 28. I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle on your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. That trap you set for them is for you. Because of your raging against me. This shall be the sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of itself, and the second year what springs forth from the same, and in the third year sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Man, I like that. You got the root, the shoot, and the fruit. Good, huh? I love when I get to say that. Take root down, shoot comes up, and the fruit comes up. That's the idea. This is going to happen. Seed time and harvest are going to happen. It's not going to be like he said. You're not going to be just left with your own excrement to eat and drink. Prosperity is coming. Productivity is coming. Fruition is coming. The surviving remnant of this house will again take root down and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant out of Mount Zion, survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's what we need. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. He will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same way he will return, and he will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You're messing with the wrong guy. And then there's this little thing that happens. This little trivial thing that happens. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. That kind of equalized the old numerical problem. Wow. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed, I'm assuming he did, and returned home and lived at Nineveh. And it came about as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharzear, the sons of the king, killed him with the sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. Not only did Assyria lose its army, they lost their king, and the king's family had to leave the country because they were the ones that killed the king. So the king was dead, the army was dead, and the king's family was dead. That's a pretty thorough whooping, isn't it? How did that happen? Because Hezekiah prayed. What are you facing? What do you feel like you're up against? What's the threat? What terrorizes you in the way that you think? What causes you to lose sleep? I mean, if you're Hezekiah, I get it. I mean, I'm not a king or anything, but I'm a leader. And do I want all that stuff to happen to my people? Are you kidding me? And Lord, you know, I'm powerless to do anything about it. He's bigger than I am. He's badder than I am. What am I going to do? We trust in our God. And the only weapon he had was worship. Prayer was his only weapon to fight back with. And he just prostrated himself before the Lord and said, Lord, here's the deal. You're God. I mean, you are the God. I listened to a song this morning on the way in. I always like the way it turns. It comes up. He says, how can I so little take my life out of the hands of the King of the world? He's the King of the world. Right? And he's also King over the world. And so, what do you do when you're facing stuff like that? Well, if you got it in print, you know, you lay it before him. But he already had it in here. But there's something about that official thing where you have to look at it. You know? Right? It's, you know, I was served. Isn't that a crazy thing? I've had people call me. You won't believe this. I got served today. Well, what they meant is they got papers from a court about something. Eviction, divorce, you know, something. That doesn't sound like service to me. You know? But that's the nomenclature. I got served. Hezekiah got served. Here's the thing. Here's the formal declaration of war against you, pipsqueaks, and we're coming. And there's nothing you can do about it. You didn't give in. Now we're going to come. We're going to take you away. And you know, Hezekiah gets. He's Jewish. He's got promise about the promised land and the every place where you put your foot. That they're going to take them all out of the land. Steal the land. Steal the place where God can be worshipped. I mean, you know, just it's bad. And he said, okay, I got some angels that are unemployed over here. And they haven't had a chance to go out and do anything for a little while. So I'll just send them on a mission to do army elimination. And this was called search and destroy. And I don't know how they did. How did they do it? How do angels do that? Well, who cares? You know, it's like, well, page 47 of the training manual. No. They just showed up, and it was over. Right? I mean, because it didn't even say there was a fight. It just says that there was a toll. There was a result. I don't know how that happens. I don't really want or need to know. I do know this. The Bible says that angels are mighty in strength to perform his word and to obey the voice of his word. Hezekiah went into secret place and went to the Word with the Word and released the voice of the Word. And the angels knew perfectly what to do. The Lord says, here's your orders. Sic them. And it happened. Well, how'd they get the count? How do you know there was 185,000? The Bible tells me so. Is that significant? Is 185, is there something magic about the number? No, but it tells you what they were up against. 185,000 soldiers. Wow, that's a big army today, isn't it? And so, and you know, if you're Hezekiah with that, I didn't know there was that many. Good thing they didn't tell me until after it was over. Are you with me? Now, okay, I'm going to let you go. You're a really good place for a 12 o'clock kickoff. It says, the Lord sent Isaiah the prophet to the king to say, I have this great prophetic word, you don't have to worry about it. The Lord's going to take him out. That's not at all what he said. He said, Hezekiah, because you prayed about the king of Assyria, here's the word of the Lord. It was all because Hezekiah prayed. Stand up with me. Lord, anything that anyone is facing fits into Isaiah 37. Anything that's causing us to worry, to shake, to tremble at how am we going to do this and how's it going to happen and who will stand in the gap with me or for me? I just want to say, Lord, those, you proved it in this passage, those who are for us are more than those who are against us. It doesn't say that you sent 300,000 angels. It just said that you sent angels. So, Lord, we thank you that the word is true, that they're mighty in strength to perform your word and to obey the voice of your word. Thank you that that happened. They're just as mighty today as they were then. They're assigned to us who are the heirs of salvation. And there is help from heaven, whether we know how to engage it or not. And I'm asking, Lord, that we could fill in the blank and say, God, I don't know too much and I don't have it all figured out, but the Bible says because Hezekiah prayed about this, you did that. I'm here praying about this so you can be free to do what you want to do. Lord, I pray you would oversee, watch over that word and perform it for each of us and for all of us, Lord, as individuals, as families, and as a church family. We want to quote that. We want to say, and look what the Lord has done. We trust you, Lord. We're human. We get rattled. Sometimes we get afraid. Sometimes we take back the commitment of our lives from the hand of the King of the world. And today we just say, here, Lord, as Hezekiah gave you the nation, all of the people of God, and said, Lord, here, we trust in you. We believe in you. We believe you are who you say you are. And you do what you say you'll do. Bible says, nothing is impossible with God. We put it all in your hands, Lord. Say thank you for the lesson that you do show up with prophetic words and help people. Show us what you want to do. But you were just looking for the response of a person who would say, you said that you want us to pray at all times. We give it to you, Lord. We're praying, Lord, which means you're working. You're taking up our case, our cause. And Lord, we say, you are the Lord even over the circumstances. So when the enemy tries to scream through the circumstances this week, we say, you're the God of the whole earth. Nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for being together today. Thank you for your goodness towards us. And we look forward to see what you will do in individual circumstances and in ours together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, cool. That's a good chapter.